Gifting is really one of the great, truest joys of life. But, I mean, look, it's stressful. It's lines at the cashier. It's, you know, my wife and I spent literally 2 hours trying to write our holiday card list last night. And sometimes it is really no fun and you just want a drink after. Well, it's champagne season, so that worked out well. And the wine writer Peter Lehm thinks it's time for you to open that bottle for yourself. And to do it all 12 months of the year, honestly. He's so obsessed with champagne that he moved to the region called Champagne to study it. And he talked with Melissa Clark about how versatile it can be and why you don't need special glasses for it.
Peter, so great to have you here.
Thank you, Melissa.
So people think of champagne as something to drink for a celebration or, you know, for the new year. But champagne is delicious and we should be drinking it more often. Why do you think people just relegate it to this special thing? Is it expense or...
No, I think this is absolutely true. I think historically, we haven't treated champagne as a real wine. Champagne is culturally so heavily linked with celebration, and you know some people forget that champagne, in fact, it's a wine like any other. It's made from grapes. In fact, it's made as a still wine before the sparkle gets put in it, And it hasn't been until very recently that we've begun to think about champagne like other wines.
Now, like other wines, champagne pairs really well with some things and maybe not so well with others. How do you like to serve champagne with meals?
Well, champagne, in fact, is an excellent pairing with food. Champagne, because of its high acidity and its relatively low alcohol, and also because of the bubbles, the effervescence contributes to making it a pair with a wide variety of things. Also, champagne is extremely diverse. You know, we tend to think of champagne as just wine with bubbles. But in fact, like the diversity of still wine, you know, champagne comes in all sorts of weights and flavors and styles. And so you can really find champagne to pair with just about anything.
Okay, talk to me about the different styles of champagne, because I think that's true. I think we all think of champagne as sort of one thing. Mm-hmm. So what are the different styles? What should people look for?
Well, to begin with, champagne is made out of three principal grape varieties. So one of them is white, Chardonnay, and the other two are red grapes, Pinot Noir and Pinot Meunier. And so champagne can be made out of one of these or a blend of these, and so each of these grapes have different characteristics. Chardonnay tends to be lighter in body. It tends to be higher in acidity. Pinot Noir is richer and rounder. And so different houses or different producers will use these varieties to achieve different ends.
And so if we wanted to get a champagne that was, say, all, we wanted a lighter style, maybe that would be all Chardonnay. And
sometimes,
that's
yeah.
the Blanc de Blanc. Is that how it is? So tell us about the label. So how do we know what we're getting in each bottle?
Well, most champagne will simply say something like Brut, which is actually a sweetness designation. So it's Brut is essentially a dry champagne. Beyond that, you might see some other names like Blanc de Blanc, for example, which means that it's made entirely of white grapes, which almost always means that it's made entirely of Chardonnay. The red grape counterpart of that is Blanc de Noir, which isn't as common, but we're seeing it more. Other than that, it's difficult to know what the precise blend of a champagne is. And honestly, it doesn't necessarily even matter. Champagne is blended not only from different grape varieties, but also different terroirs, because champagne is quite a large appellation. And so most producers are blending from different vineyards all over the region. And these all give you different characteristics, too. And so with major brands or major houses, when you have a blend that comes from across the region like that, then you're looking more at the style of the house, So for example, like Krug or Paul Roger might make richer, fuller-bodied wines, whereas like Tattinger or Laurent Perrier might make lighter-bodied wines.
Right. So you really need to talk to the person selling you the wine to kind of understand what's in the bottle.
Yeah.
Now let's go back to the food, though. So what are some of your favorite ways to pair champagne with food, with meals?
Well, champagne pairs really well with anything umami, anything savory. Champagne, because of the way that it's made, it ages for a long time on its lees, on its yeasts. And this contributes an umami character to champagne itself.
That's and that so, toasty, nutty flavor we get with champagne.
Yeah, this kind of savory, you know, these savory undertones. And also champagne, because it's grown in chalk, it can often sometimes be downright salty. And so, you know, some classic pairings, you know, with champagne are like mushrooms, for example, you know, because you have this umami, on umami action, you know.
So like pasta with mushrooms, risotto with mushrooms.
Yeah, I mean, that's superb. Mushrooms, truffles, so, you know, anything like that. Champagne is excellent with Japanese food because of this. Champagne goes well with anything fried because you have this acidity and you have the bubbles that you know cut through the richness.
A little more elegant than a beer. Like same kind of you know
exactly.
effervescence.
Exactly. Like fried chicken and champagne is one of the great you know food and wine pairings of the world.
Not what people would think. But maybe not a steak, or would you do it with steak?
In fact, with fuller-bodied champagnes, Pinot Noir heavy champagnes, you can actually find champagnes that are rich enough and that have enough body to pair with meat.
Okay, now here's a question for you. I open a bottle of champagne and I don't finish it. Mm-hmm. Can I save the rest of it, or is it
absolutely? So you can get special champagne stoppers that will keep
and those work
and they work very well. I do it at home all the time. In fact, typically when I'm at home, I'll open a bottle of champagne and drink it over 2 or 3 days.
Okay,
and especially with younger champagne, oftentimes it's even better on the second day because it's had time to get a little more air and kind of open up. And so you can certainly keep a champagne in the fridge for a day or two without a problem.
Now, how do you like to serve champagne, flutes or wine glasses?
I'm very much a fan of wine glasses. I think that you know flutes give you this really elegant picture of the bubbles, but they don't do many favors for the wine itself. I always advocate serving champagne in a white wine glass of some sort. It allows you to perceive more of the aromas and more of the flavors.
And what about the temperature? Should it be straight from the fridge?
I always prefer to serve it not too cold.
Okay.
I think this is a common thing in restaurants around the world is that champagne is served really ice cold, and that also inhibits your perception of the wine.
Peter, thank you so much. This was fascinating. Now I need to go drink some champagne.
Thank you.
Peter Leem is the author of the James Beard Award-winning book, Champagne, The Essential Guide to the Wines, Producers, and Terroir of the Iconic Region. And even if you don't buy it, really, find it in a bookstore and just look at it, because it is a ridiculously beautiful thing. Melissa Clark is the author of pretty much every cookbook you'll ever need, but her latest is called Comfort in an Instant. And at splendidtable.org, you can find some of Peter's recommendations to help you track down a great bottle of champagne.